Good evening, listeners. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Hello and welcome to It's Your Body. My name is Grace Garberson.
My name's Shane.
And we are with Women's Health Specialists. Nine women founded Women's Health Specialists 40 years ago, originally as the Feminist Women's Health Center. Our goal is to share health information with women and men. We believe that given all the options, we can make the best healthcare decisions for ourselves. By sharing stories and experiences, we can learn from each other, and we can revive health information passed on by our mothers, grandmothers, traditional healers, and friends. We don't promote or advocate any particular health choice.
It's Your Body is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts.
Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palio, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, and the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Peter Tichinen, in association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm, established in 1962. Peter Tichinen and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached at 680-1900 or at chicohomes.com.
The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. Good evening, listeners. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's been another month. The time is flying.
Time is flying.
I feel like just yesterday it was Christmas and we've got Valentine's Day right around the corner. So Cheyenne and I have been discussing what we wanted to recognize that it's sometimes people are lonely or in relationships. Sometimes you're all the flying. The thing is the day after.
Valentine's Day. Love is really important, and I don't promote it on Valentine's Day. Like insane pressure can just like
relationship and it's and feeling
crazy. Right, absolutely.
So self-love, it kind of means something different to everyone. And I just wanted to share a story about accepting yourself and how, as friends, we can do this for each other. And I just want to give a shout out to my amazing friend, far, far away, Hannah, who for a long time, you know, in the summertime, you go to the beach, you feel kind of insecure in your bikini. For the first time in my life, I didn't feel insecure.
That's the best feeling in the world.
Because she... We didn't talk about that. We were talking about science and books, and that wasn't the focus of our friendship.
Yeah.
It wasn't superficial, and she didn't judge me and just supported me and allowed me to find self-love. So I don't know, how can we do that for our other friends and for ourselves?
Right, yeah, and we were talking about it earlier that, like, I think you and I both agree that just, like, being confident within yourself and, like, speaking really good about yourself and, like, I don't know, really valuing, good example, like, for your peers and for the people around you and, like,
you know, way you talk about yourself,
right, recognizing,
too.
Like, the good in yourself. And also, I really appreciate when, like, we don't have to talk about our bodies. Mm. Like, I could do without a weight loss compliment, seriously. Yeah. And I think it's just so much cooler when you can make a connection with somebody based on common interests or, I don't know, just, like, make each other laugh and not have to talk about, like, your beautiful love handles. You know what I mean?
Yes, the narcissism machine. It's good to talk about the real things, too, and emotional health as well.
Yeah, just being there for each other. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's my friend knows that, like, if you want to talk about feelings, we can be friends forever. So shout out to all my friends. Sorry. Yeah.
Our support networks are huge, especially during difficult times like Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Tonight, we have some wonderful people in the studio with us, and we're going to be talking with Sarah from Catalyst, and we have Rachel from GSEC, and we're going to be talking about different aspects of love, like relationships, and we're going to talk about the vagina monologues and reclaiming our self-love as women.
Can I say it?
Yes.
The vagina monologues.
We are very excited.
We're really excited to talk about the vagina monologues on this radio station.
Fantastic. So, Sarah, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and the organization that you come from?
Yeah, my name is Sarah. I am the LGBTQ plus outreach specialist over at Catalyst Domestic Violence Services. Catalyst is the domestic violence agency in Butte County, and we have a lot of awesome services. One of those is our 24-hour hotline, which is the number is 84. We also do free confidential counseling, legal advocacy, and we have a safe housing shelter that people can stay for up to 6 months while they figure out what to do next after leaving an abusive partner.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
Wow. So with the work that you do, you guys talk a lot about what it looks like to be in a healthy relationship. What does that mean? And how can people really embrace that and kind of add it to their own relationship?
Yeah, so relationships can look a lot of different ways and be healthy. But at Catalyst, when we talk about healthy relationships, we always bring it back to equality and mutual respect. So does each person in the relationship feel like they have evenship? Both your healthiest relationships are going to have like tumultuous times. So mm-hmm. It's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies 100% of the time, but as long as you both feel like you're respected, that's really what matters. You're probably good.
Mm-hmm. And I get that a lot with friends asking, oh, you guys, you never fight. Something's wrong. Is that true or not? Because that's kind of an area of gray matter. I don't really
know.
Yeah,
what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. The idea of, like, if you don't argue, it's not a good sign.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of a trick question because it really depends on what you define arguing as. So is it a healthy argument or is it an abusive argument? Because those look very different. But first off, if you and your partner never disagree, like, congratulations, that's awesome. But it's not super common, right? Mm-hmm. Like, relationships are hard and you're going to disagree and have really hard conversations together. And so if you're never disagreeing, it's more likely that there's a lack of communication. So maybe one person just is avoiding that conflict and doesn't want to have that conversation for a variety of reasons, because conflict can be awkward. It's not mm-hmm. fun, but it's important to have that in a healthy way. So as long as there isn't any fear present when you're having that argument, that's totally fine. And arguments don't have to be like full-blown yelling matches. Mm-hmm. They can be a conversation mm-hmm. and just saying, like, this is how I'm feeling, how are you feeling, and just like talking it out together.
So speaking of talking it out together, I feel like communication is so hard, like, because you come into a relationship, two different sets of people, two different sets of walls, and like, it's a really common problem too. Like, I don't know, I feel like I've had so many conversations with so many people where it's, you just share that when you're in a relationship, like, how do I communicate with this person? And I mean, is there like one like magic trick to like make it a little bit easier, you know, or just a tip so where you can just check in with yourself in that moment? And
totally. So when we're talking about healthy communication, one tool that we like to use at Catalyst is the FAIR argument rules. And it's a list of rules just to kind of keep in mind when you're having those conversations. And some of those include focusing on the problem and identifying what that problem is to begin with. So not attacking the person's character or bringing up the past, which is easy to do, but figuring out like what exactly the problem is and talking through that. Another way is using I statements. So not you statements. You statements would be you always, you never, you're never listening, you're never doing, etc. Or you did this, you did that. An I statement is I feel blank because blank. So I feel hurt because, I feel betrayed because, I really feel statements can be really helpful. And if you aren't familiar with them, they can be kind of hard at first and they mm-hmm. don't come that naturally, but you can kind of practice together, and that's a healthy form of communication. List, but if anyone's had a disagreement with a partner or anyone really, mm-hmm. You might be able to understand that it's not always easy to listen to what the other person's saying without thinking about what you're going to say next and kind of just like wanting to win the argument versus having a conversation where you both win. And so in a healthy relationship, there aren't any winners or losers, and kind of keeping that in mind.
Because when you the whole time, this makes
it's like one thing I've heard from my couples counselor, because I love couples therapy.
Shout out
we go
to
just
therapy.
For fun.
I am a therapy pusher.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I love therapy, and I love my therapist. I don't know
really resonated with me and my partner was that to show that you're really listening is to repeat it back and paraphrase it. Mm. And then they confirm that's what I'm trying to say.
Totally. That so really what helpful. I hear you saying is,
yes. I have a question though. How do you, okay, so how do you ask for that in a way that doesn't sound like, what did I just say? You know what I mean? Like, how do you ask for them to say it back to like ensure that they're listening?
Yeah, that's a good question. So saying things like, does that make sense to you? Like, am I coming across in a good way? Like, do you understand what I'm saying? I think some people can feel like it's a little condescending, like, so what I hear you say is this, like, is that right? You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, geez, like, yes, I just said that. But it can be really helpful because then it's like proving or just showing your partner that you care enough to like really hear what they're saying mm-hmm. versus just like plotting what you're going to say.
Totally. Yeah, I need, yeah. Tone is very important.
Tone, that's another rule for the fair argument.
Is it? Yes. Tone?
Yeah.
How do you, I feel like, and not to like put myself on blast, but I feel like a lot of times I'm like, nothing's wrong with my tone. You know what I mean? Like, how do you remind yourself that you sound different to your partner? Is there, I'm sorry, we're like having a therapy session in there.
Yeah. yeah, no, I think hopefully your partner can remind you in a nice, respectful way.
She really does.
Yeah, right?
So she really does.
Saying, hey, like, you're kind of coming across a little bit harsh right now. Like, mm-hmm. can we, like, restate that in a different way? Or, like, is that what you mean? Are you really angry? And then you can do some self-reflection and say, like, whoa, like, I didn't even mean to make it sound like that. It's like, I'm sorry, right. That's how it sounded. And then kind of rephrase it.
Yeah, and I feel like that just all goes back to communication also.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Would it be harmful or helpful to record these conversations so that you can play them back just like a sports game?
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I think that... like I said, conflict is really awkward and hard, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't want to repeat the conversation and listen in on it again. As long as you both are just trying, you know, and right, doing that right. respectful communication. And you don't want to pick apart what each other says either.
Fantastic. So I know you touched on the subject of power dynamics. What are some signs that the power dynamic is not healthy in a relationship, and how can you help?
Yeah, so when we're talking about domestic violence, power and control is really what we kind of use as a gauge to figure out what's going on. So who in the relationship has the power and the control over the relationship itself and the other person? Absolutely a red flag. But have either of you heard of that?
No.
Okay, so an if apology is, it's like a pretend apology, like it's dressed up like an apology, but it's not. So it's convincing the other partner that they have the power to change the abuse or stop the abuse from happening if they just change their behavior. Mm. So an example is stupid, but if you had just called me back when you no. said you would, like I wouldn't have had to do that. And so it sounds like an apology because they say they're sorry, but then they say this, but if you had just done this, like I wouldn't have had to abuse you if you had just changed your behavior. Mm-hmm. So wow. It gives this like false idea that, okay, if I just call them back when they say, or they tell mm-hmm. me I should, or if I know whatever, where what they tell me I should, or whatever the yeah. situation is, then they feel like they have that power and control. And they're like, okay, I just won't do that anymore. And then unfortunately the abuse just continues in other ways.
Right. And that wow. but is a good indicator following
yeah.
an apology.
The if, yeah. yeah. But if, mm-hmm. and then, because, and if you do see that, because unfortunately, even in healthy relationships, like I said, they're not going to be healthy 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's really common to kind of fluctuate back and forth between the unhealthy, healthy dynamics. And so just because you've heard an if apology like once in your relationship, I'm not saying that that's an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. but just to be aware of that and talk to your partner about that. Like, you know, I feel like you think you just apologized to me, but the way it came across to me was that you're putting the blame back on me, and that mm-hmm. doesn't feel like a really good apology. So can we talk about that?
Yeah.
And hopefully if it's a healthy relationship, right. they'll be open to that and have that conversation.
And I think too, like kind of considering like where you both came from and like past relationships, like I think that also kind of affects how you know, apologize can be in a certain type of relationship. So it's important to just like check in with each other.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And everybody comes with baggage. That's totally common. It just can't be used as an excuse for abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So what would you do if you had a friend who you suspected was in trouble? They were in a harmful relationship. What's your recommendation, that something that you could do without making the situation worse?
That's a really good question, because domestic violence affects so many people. So the likelihood of you knowing someone in an abusive relationship is really, really high. So the first thing I would say is just to talk to them and say, hey, you know, I was listening to this KZFR radio station and I heard a couple red flags, and I was worried because I immediately thought of your relationship with so-and-so, and I'm just concerned about you and I want to make sure you're okay. Like, do you feel like that relationship is a positive part of your life? And just kind of start the conversation. So you can say, like, I read this article or I saw this thing, mm-hmm. and it made me think of you, and I just want you to know that I'm worried about you. Not in like a why are you with that person kind of mm-hmm. way, kind of avoiding the why mm-hmm. questions, and just letting them know that you're there for them. And the biggest part would be to stay present in their lives, because a lot of times abusers will try to isolate them and say, you shouldn't hang out with them, they don't like me, or whatever. So mm-hmm. friends, family, things like that. And so really trying to stay constant and understanding that it can take a lot of or multiple times to leave an abusive partner successfully. So mm-hmm. we say it takes an average of 7 to 10 times.
Wow.
So
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And so as a friend and seeing someone that you love so much go through that and then go back to that abusive partner can be super hard, because you're like, what? Like, no, I thought you left. Like, I thought this was over. But realizing that there are so many things that keep people in abusive relationships, and one of that is love. Like, they uh-huh. really love that person and they want things to get better and they really want to believe that things are going to get better. And so even if they do choose to stay with that person, staying in their life, because when they do make that decision, whether that's tomorrow or in mm-hmm. 6 months, you know what I mean? You're there for them and they know that they're not alone.
Right. And another thing you can do is just point them towards resources in the community, like Catalyst, too.
Absolutely. So once you get that conversation started, mm-hmm. you can say, you know, Catalyst is a really great option for you. They have this hotline. It's totally mm-hmm. anonymous if you want it to be. So you can just call and ask questions. And they're all trained and they know what they're doing over there, so they can really help you too.
Yeah.
That's absolutely a good idea.
What a great resource. Fantastic.
Yeah, I think so.
So any more questions about relationships?
Many.
When gender roles, just responsibility in all relationships. How do two people coexist and one person isn't always taking out the trash?
Grace, let's talk about it. Tell us how you really feel about taking out the trash.
Oh, I'm not fond.
Totally. So gender roles really complicate things. And, you know, I like to challenge those as often as possible. So who really should do the taking out the trash? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? No one likes to do it. I also hate doing the dishes. I'll just say that right now. Anybody who's lived with me will know that. And so I think that understanding that, like, relationships are all about give and take, mm-hmm. and there's no one size fits all. So what works for one relationship is not necessarily going to work for another. So there can be a relationship where gender roles just kind of work for them, and they're like, this is what mm-hmm. this person does, this is what that person does. Obviously in queer relationships that's different.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, as far as like gender roles, are we talking like heteronormative roles, or because yeah. I don't and like, how does that fit into queer relationships?
Yeah, it's really complicated. and so I think that's what really confuses things, because who does what? You know, mm-hmm. we don't really have a script of like, this is what a queer person should do, because it's like, if there's no man in the relationship, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so that kind of sets the stage for having those conversations mm-hmm. about like what works for you in that relationship.
Totally.
And so as long as neither party feels taken for granted for, taken advantage of, like, that's what matters. And that's what you kind of want to reflect on.
That should be the key.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Respect, really.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
Bottom line, respect. One thing that I had thought of is you hate doing the dishes and mm-hmm. say, I hate taking out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
So you take out the trash and I wash the dishes. So if you can find compromises where you have this set list of roles mm-hmm. that you take on, so that that person never has to do the thing that they hate the most, and you can kind of maximize your relationship.
I have a question while we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about a chore chart? Is it inappropriate or appropriate for a relationship?
For a relationship, you know what? It's what works for you in your relationship.
That makes sense.
So if you and your partner decide, you know what, let's sit down and just hash it out. Like, I hate doing the dishes. You hate taking out the trash. We both agree to do that. But what I also hate is when the trash is overflowing for like 3 weeks and the house reeks. So can we like make a promise to each other that we're going to do those chores, you know, weekly or biweekly or whatever works for you in your relationship. But just accountability is, I think, what it comes down to with the chores where we haven't. And the house looks different. I'll just say that.
Yeah, that's, or there's, yeah, or it's like always the one grouchy roommate.
Hard to avoid. So just communication is really what it comes down to.
Communication, respect.
Communication.
Yeah, consideration, and
Can I just say something really quick? Yeah. So there's a concert outside our window right now, air checking. And so if you guys hear any beautiful background music, it is just a surprise we walked into this evening. So
it sounds great.
And if you come on down, doors are open at 6:30, and please be quiet because we're doing a radio show in the nicest way possible.
Not the music, though. It's actually
It sounds really pretty. Yeah, lovely. I was surprised. I was like, well, I'm not mad at that. That's nice.
One thing you mentioned earlier about self-love that really I was thinking about when it comes to relationships is self-esteem is so important to keep in mind. Does it mean you no longer have your own identity, which sometimes is confusing? You become one person because it's you against the world. You know what I mean? But remembering like that you are your own person and checking in with yourself. So like, are you feeling good about yourself? Are you happy with your life? And because it's really hard to have a relationship with someone else when you're struggling with your own self-esteem issues. And that's not to say that in order to have a healthy relationship, you have to have perfect self-esteem, because that's really, really hard to get. And I certainly understand that. So it's just checking in with yourself and doing some self-reflection. And when you're working on improving yourself, that it's going to be benefiting the relationship as well. That's going to reflect on the relationship. And then also, just if you're looking for ways to improve your relationship, checking in with your partner too. So asking them the hard questions, like, are you happy? Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything that hasn't been addressed that maybe should be? And while that can be hard, because like I said earlier, conflict is really hard, opening the door to that conversation could really, really benefit your relationship in the long run.
I agree.
Having those tough conversations.
They're the best.
Love them.
Oh, well, that's been such a wonderful.
I know. I just want to keep talking about love and relationships and chores. Grace's partner's here, and he's just sitting over here, like, oh, I got to do the dishes when I get home.
He's like, it's been a while. I should do those.
Thank you, Joey. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Sarah.
Absolutely. I was happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
That was wonderful.
One more time, let's give that hotline number.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is 1-800-895-8476.
Fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you want to just segue right in?
Yeah.
Okay.
To our second interview. Why not? Let's keep the party going. And Sarah's going to stick around so that if we all want to talk, we can.
Awesome.
And we have Rachel with us this evening.
Hello.
Hi. Now, Cheyenne and I went to the Vagina Monologues at Butte College yesterday. Oh. It was our first experience. Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch of questions for you about the upcoming event tomorrow and Saturday as well.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm excited to be here.
All right. It's on the other... Okay. Well... So the Vagina Monologues, an episodic play written by Eve Ensler, premiered in 1996. Can you just kind of vaguely tell us what it's about?
Yeah. So it's a play. Eve Ensler conducted about or over 200 interviews with women internationally in the mid-90s, with the goal of providing exposure about the diversity of women's experiences and combating social norms that women often hear in the media or from their family or friends. And so, yeah, it's about exposing people and providing a place where people can bond over the struggles that people face when trying to find self-love or acceptance of one's own identity or their body. especially when you live in a culture that expects so much of you, to be thin, to be beautiful, to not talk about your down there, your vagina. You can't even say the word vagina without feeling
vagina,
weird.
Vagina.
Vagina.
Yeah. And talking about vulvas, too. Why do we not talk about vulvas when, you know.
Let's talk about vulvas.
Yeah. And all of those messages that we get, that women get, and people of underserved communities get all the time. And so it's a really great opportunity to be exposed to the things to celebrate, the struggles that we face, and people often leave feeling very enlightened. So, yeah.
It's an art piece, definitely.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It definitely left me feeling a certain kind of way. I was, it was
a
heavy.
A lot of emotions.
Yeah, I was out for the rest
of it. That was beautiful.
Great time. So you did touch on it a little bit, but how, like, what's kind of the main theme and how the monologue?
Yeah, so strife, we want to strive for. It's not really talked about all the time. And so I think that the play does a really good job of is providing positive examples and positive representation of what it looks like to practice self-love and self-respect. But it also illustrates the many struggles that people face to get to that point and the barriers to get to self-love. And so, and some people might never get there, but that's okay. And so I think that people leave feeling inspired to start thinking about the ways that they view themselves and do a lot of self-reflection, which I don't know if people are encouraged to do that all the time. We're so outward thinking and thinking about other things other than ourselves.
Totally.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I think a lot of people feel that motivation to start thinking about those things after watching the play.
And I think also too the fact that like different women read like each monologue, I think that there's like power in numbers, and to see like that amount of women standing up there like, you know, kind of like holding these like interviews and like testimonies from women who have came before them, like that's power in itself.
Yeah, definitely.
Now what kind of reactions do you get from the community and from people who see the play?
Yeah, so all kinds of reactions. Some people, I mean, even in the leading days up to it, selling vulva cupcakes or having a vulva suit, some people are very fearful. They're angry. They feel very uncomfortable talking about it, seeing it. It's just one of those things that we never bring to the surface because we feel that it's so private that we shouldn't talk about it openly.
That's why it's so important to do it.
Totally. Right. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so I think a lot of people going into it with an open mind, they feel a lot of emotions. And I think it's natural to feel a little discomfort, especially when you just are hearing it for the first time. A lot of people laugh, a lot of people cry, a lot of people feel angry, and so I remember myself feeling a combination of all of those
things. Right, it was just like, like a wheel of emotion.
Yeah, definitely. And so I think a lot of people feel that similar combination of feelings when they go, which is a good thing. Yeah, those are good emotions to have.
Right, and yeah, you like start to process and you're just like, oh, wow. I don't know. I was really impressed. I still am.
And just something that I don't want to talk about things specifically, but the just general shame that children experience, especially young girls. Don't talk about it. Don't touch it. Hide it. It's just shame, you know, and that play kind of left. It's just talking about how women grow up with those ideas and then how it evolves into this kind of shameful view of themselves, and it kind of extends out, and it definitely influences a girl's confidence.
Definitely. And I think one of the things that gets talked about a lot is sexuality and orgasms and things like that. And you know, if you've never had one or you can't have one, that's totally fine. But a lot of women don't even know that that's something that they can,
that they exist.
That they exist, exactly. Yeah. And so trying to just explore your sexuality in that sense and feel like, yes, you do deserve it too, not just the men in your lives that, you know, deserve to have that that lasting moment at the end of the night, right? So it sheds light on the inequality still between straight relationships, and then also touches on a lot of other issues as well.
I've seen the Vagina Monologues for the past several years, actually, and it's an amazing show. I love it. I go every year.
Have you ever thought to read at it?
I have considered it,
yeah,
but definitely some stage fright there. But it's so amazing, and it's just like every year, even though I know all the monologues, just to see them in front of me again, and the people performing do such an amazing job, and it's just it's such a good experience. Like, I would highly recommend it. Like, and take your teenage daughters.
Yes,
like, it's a conversation that needs to be had that isn't. And I would have loved, like, I probably wouldn't have loved it as a teenager, but it would have been really beneficial for me to have gone to that.
Definitely.
So as far as like, so the Vagina Monologues, they use the vagina as a tool, you know, for empowerment, as the ultimate embodiment of individuality. With the advent of social media and increased censorship, do you think that this play will continue to provide resistance? You know, we are taught to think of ourselves in a really backwards, you know, through a filter way. Will this stand the test of time?
Yeah, I think a common feeling among activists is that as long as the oppression exists, there will always be work to be done. And so I would consider the Vagina Monologues as one of those tools that we use to educate folks about some of these really important issues that we don't talk about. And so, yeah, I think that there are always going to be ways to make the Vagina Monologues itself more inclusive of different identities among women, but just, I mean, watching the reactions of various people who automatically feel that discomfort, yeah, I mean, until we get to the point where people are comfortable talking about these things, it's good to kind of have a little bit of that, you know, discomfort, you know, making people feel uncomfortable, because a lot of women and a lot of people of underserved communities have felt uncomfortable for so long living in a society that isn't made for them. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't really feel bad for walking around in a vulva suit and making you cringe a little bit.
So, do you have a vulva suit?
We do have a vulva suit. Oh,
it's awesome.
Heretic Dang. Clinic has one. I want to make one.
We'll have it at the play.
Let's make a vulva suit, Grace. Vulva suit Friday. Everybody wears their vulva suits. So I know that the monologues, strive to represent every woman's experience, and I'm wondering how has there been an effort to include trans women, like, within this experience and this empowerment?
And I think Sarah can also speak to this. There has always been, or not always, but in recent years, a desire to be more inclusive of that. I think that some of the regulations among Vagina Monologues as a whole, because it's all over the country, is very strict. I think in an effort to be consistent in the monologues that get said, but it's been kind of a struggle to get more inclusivity of trans women. But we have a role as a trans woman in our...
We saw the monologue.
And which is really, really important, because people have often a very narrow-minded view of what being a woman is. And it's good to remind people that even though a lot of this conversation has been about vaginas and vulvas, not every woman has a vagina or vulva. And so really validating people's gender identities. And so... the reason why we would have a trans woman role is specifically to shed light on the importance of validating those identities.
Well, and just saying that trans women are real women.
Exactly.
You know, and just, it's called the Vagina Monologues, and the title itself is a little bit exclusive, right? Because not, like you just said, not all women have vaginas. And so I think having that one monologue, you know, I wish there were more.
I was going to say, do you think that, like, you, because, I mean, Eve Ensler, right, she, like, collects them, and then does she put out a new one every so often? Or
every
how does
so
that work?
Often, yeah, like, every few years, I think. I don't think, it's definitely not every year. And every year it's different in the sense of like which ones are required to be spoken. And so I think a couple of years ago, that one wasn't an option, even though it existed. And so we were like, what the heck? Like, we really want to do this. But there are definitely some like major regulations of the show, which I understand. But I think that there's some criticism around that because we want to be as inclusive as possible. And so I think that the one monologue is a start. And yeah, there's more work to be done. And I think
let's call her up and just like ask for one. Like, hey, that's us.
And I also wondering. Because I think it depends on how you define the vagina monologues. Do we consider including trans men into the vagina monologues, or do we non-binary people? That's just a personal question of mine.
Totally.
That's a great question.
I mean, because why not? But that's how I feel. So yeah.
Let's extend that into validating everyone's experience.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
So, the event is being held here in Chico.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about what motivated GSEC to put on this show?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of work.
So, back in the day, about 5 or 6 years ago, the GSEC, the Gender and Sexuality Equity Center, wasn't GSEC. It was the Women's Center. And the Vagina Monologues has dated back before the GSEC. And so I wasn't around when we first brought it, we meaning the center, and neither was Sarah.
It's been around for a long time.
Yeah, so I was looking in our computer trying to find the first day. I found 2009, but I feel like it might have gone before then as well. Probably the same reason why we bring any event from the GSEC to campus, which is seeing the relevance as it exists to our mission of being inclusive and educating and empowering students in the community on these very important issues, and shedding light on some of the experiences that often don't get told. And so back then, I'm sure, especially with the status of Eve Unsler, it was just of course we have to have this on campus. This is so important. Just like Take Back the Night has been around for decades and something like that. That the Women's Center felt that people needed to hear, and so they made that decision. And it's all across the country too, so a lot of people feel that way.
And I know that different women read each part of the script, so how do you participate, and are they drama students, are they, how do you become involved?
Just to date back a little bit, we do a director call out. So we don't have the same director every year. We have a director submit the resume, and then we have auditions. And so anyone, regardless if they're a student, a drama student, a community member, can audition.
No experience is required, which is super cool.
And community members can.
Definitely, yeah.
Definitely. And a lot of the cast members we have are from the community, and which is also awesome because we get so much more diversity in that way as well.
In age especially.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so we do have some students, and some are theater, but some aren't. And depending on their experience, they connected very well with the monologue they auditioned for, and or were selected for a different one. And that is a really great way to involve the community in a lot of what we do. And I feel as though a lot of the people that attend are from the community as well, because it's been around for so many years. It's something that people look forward to every Valentine's Day, or the season of Valentine's Day.
V-Day.
Also known as V-Day. Yes. Yeah, so vagina. The community. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Because I know it would be so empowering to stand up on that stage if you had the courage to just own that monologue and just feel that person's experience too. It's really healing.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So where can you get tickets? That's what I want to know.
So, unfortunately, we can't sell them in the office, but we sell them, they are sold through the university box office.
Oh, cool.
Which is in Sierra Hall, located on 3rd and Chestnut. And you can, and or just figure out their hours and their phone number. It's $10 for students, pre-sale, $13 for, which is cool. Sell out.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
might not get that.
Do you usually sell out?
We have in the past, right?
We definitely sold out in the past, not every show. I think a matinee show on Saturdays, the least likely to get sold out if you are coming to the door. But I would encourage you to go try no matter what.
Yeah, and the showings, we have three showings on Friday and Saturday, and the Friday showing is at 7:30, again, in the BMU Auditorium, or BMU standing for Bell Memorial Union. And on Saturday, we have two showings, 2 o'clock and 7:30 again. So the doors open a half hour before the showing time. There will be tables there. GSEC will be tabling. Catalyst will be tabling. And Rape Crisis, the two beneficiaries, including the GSEC. And we'll have vulva art, community artists donating vulva art and things like that there.
I'll be there Friday night if you want to come say hi.
Yeah.
I don't know which showing I'm going to, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Sometimes a surprise happens at the end of the Saturday showing as well. Last year we had someone got engaged to. So who knows? I like to throw that
proposal,
in there.
Proposal, yeah.
At the Vagina Monologues?
Yes.
Yeah, I was one of the people speaking.
That was a great Valentine's Day date
and leading up to that, and it's just like, hey, like, let's empower vaginas. Like, if you love a vagina, if there's a seriously
abs for what
saying vagina.
Man, oh, it'll be fine. We're good. We're good. I just want to talk about what you guys do. And what do you guys do to show yourselves love?
Lately, it's been going to bed early. Nice. And I sound like a grandma, but I'm in bed by like 10:30, and so I get that like solid 9 hours of sleep is my goal.
9 hours.
9 hours.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And I'm like, and it's so great because when I don't get that much sleep, I'm so grouchy and tired, and so that's a huge form of self care for me. Working out, I love going to the gym, and you know, jogging on the treadmill. I don't love it, but I feel great after it.
Yeah.
I just picked up yoga recently. Those are all a few things that I do. Yeah, hanging out with friends, like hanging out with people that I care about, not like locking myself up in my house. I live alone now, and with my cat though, who's awesome. Keeps me company. But yeah, hanging out with friends, that's a big one for me.
Yeah. I don't feel like I get enough sleep, nor do I work out as often as I should. But I can think of a couple things. I definitely make time to get coffee in the morning. That's one of my things that I think just, it's a routine, you know, so sticking to that. Little things throughout the day, so treating yourself to certain things that you're just really craving, you might not let yourself have because you might police yourself, traditionally speaking, but and really embracing some of those cravings. The one and I have done to me, it is so soothing, and
I just downloaded this, and it's really nice. And it's just such a great doing that lately, and I like when I kind of shed all those thoughts. I like it.
That's
I'm just meditating in general.
But then it starts to play, and you're like,
totally.
I forgot what Chico really is. My first, it turns green.
Oh my gosh. No. Seriously, it's so funny. Bidwell, Upper Bidwell, it's so gorgeous. It is so ugly. Everybody loves it, and I just think it's terrible, and it's hot. But then when I went in the spring, it was gorgeous. It's like, so if you've gone in the summer and didn't like it, like, give it another chance because it's so nice. And even Lower Bidwell.
Yeah.
Like, last summer, I, like, lived there during the day, just, like, soaking up the sun, reading. It's so nice.
Well,
I love it.
An hour at work. Go take a walk.
Dude, we have a porch at our work, and I've just, like, all week have just been wanting to like take a cat nap in the sun. Like, I'm gonna eat later because I'm just gonna nap in the sun. It's gonna be beautiful.
Another easy self-care thing is just leaving for lunch when I'm at work, so not just like sitting in the office eating, but like actually going home and eating, or going somewhere else and eating for that time period. Just getting out of the office
kind
can be really nice.
Yeah,
especially when you're at a desk job, you know. It's really good to get up and
That's true.
Get out of those fluorescent lights.
One self-care thing that I've been doing that I'm like really impressed with myself is going to the gym without a goal. Like, that is huge, because I just feel like going to the gym without a goal, you're just there to like move your body and sweat and like get into it, and like, screw a scale, man. I don't know. I feel like I've spent so much money on going to the gym because of a scale, and now that I'm there to just like feel like a powerhouse afterwards. It's been amazing. And I'm like kind of that like gym person now. I'm like, no, I got to go to the gym first. I'm like, who am I?
Oh my God, I feel the same way. And it's like, if you don't even consider like weight loss when you're going, like you're going because you love your body and you just want to take care of this amazing thing that like keeps you alive every day.
Yeah, what a concept.
It's like such a weird thing. Concept. And so, and just like remembering how great you feel after a good workout. So all those endorphins and stuff. So it's not going with a goal of like, I'm going to lose a pound at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Or however many pounds you're thinking in your mind, like not even considering the scale and just considering how it makes you feel and your overall happiness. Yeah, the endorphins, definitely. That's what I do it for.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What else?
What else do we do?
Oh, you know what? Sometimes I feel like also a big self-love thing is like checking in with yourself, like reminding, and like scents I've found are really good with that. Like just because, you know, you get that weird like out of your body like feeling when you're not, you know, checking in and like remembering to love yourself. And I don't know, candles help me because you can like use your, you know, you smell it. Smells good.
Totally. Definitely. I love candles. I'm trying to think another thing I do. If I grocery shop on a regular basis, I'm happier. Like if I go home and I have no food in my house, I'm like, I have to go like grab something and it's never like that fulfilling. Yeah. And so like cooking a healthy meal at home, I love doing that. So like prioritizing that.
We've gotten a lot better about doing that too.
Right? Yeah. The other day I was just agreed that our days were so much better because we took care of business. Yeah,
that's true.
Totally.
In advance.
To take care of yourself so that you can take care of your loved ones.
Absolutely. Brittany. Yes. Hey, Brittany. I love you. She's probably like sitting in the truck right now because we don't have a radio in our house. So she just sits outside probably with the cat. I know. She
brings the cat in the car.
Yeah, our cat really loves car rides. Yeah.
My brother's cat like jumps in every car he sees.
That's weird. I mean, we put her in there. No, that's cool though. Yeah, it was awesome. One time we like got pulled over and our cat was in the car with us. And I know the cop was like, oh God. These two. But anyways, thank you for a great show, you guys. Thank you for sticking around.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yes.
Really enlightening, and I'm looking forward to the vagina monologues. Ooh. Gotta say it one more time.
Last minute plug. We do have a training coming up at the end of February. So if you work with teens, it's Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, February. And so if you work with teens or you have teens like as your children, you are invited to come. It's Monday, February 22nd from 4 to 7 p.m. at the First Baptist Church. But space is limited, so we do ask that you register online. And you can go to the Catalyst Facebook page and find out more info on that. But
also, it's gonna be a great training. Somebody wants to volunteer with Catalyst, how do they do so?
Yeah, we have trainings a few times a year. We actually, today was the last day of training for this round. Okay. But if you're interested, go online, you can apply or just call us and we can talk to you about it. You do a 40-hour training. So it's like 3 weeks of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is what we typically do, a few hours a night. So it's pretty intense, but it's an amazing training. And then it's a crisis intervention training. So then once you're trained, it's about a 4-hour week commitment. And you can do hotline calls. You can work at the business office. That's where I am. You can help out with restraining orders. Cool. There's a lot of stuff you can do. We have a children's program at the shelter. So you can work with kids. It's an awesome opportunity. So I highly recommend it. Nice. Yeah.
And then GSEC, where are you?
We are.
How can we get to you?
In the Bell Memorial Union on Chico State's campus in 004. We just moved. And we hire interns every semester that are students at Chico State. And so that's a really great experience if you want to get involved in one of our programs. We have 4 programs now. We just installed a trans program in addition to the LGBTQ+ program, the women's program, and the outreach program.
Nice.
And so we have interns every semester. We have a really awesome group this semester. We're so excited. And we don't currently have a very stable volunteer process right now, but we're hoping to instill something like that in the future because we get a lot of people coming in asking to volunteer. So
the internships are 3 units, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And can be altered depending on your needs, but 3 units is pretty standard.
And it comes with an awesome seminar for multicultural and gender studies. And I'm just saying that because I used to work there. But
yes, just,
it was awesome.
Quick plug.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
on. Cool. Yeah.
It's a really good experience.
Well, 2 wonderful organizations. Thank you.
Have a great
It's Your Body. BFR members and by the Zeppelin Works, specializing in Volkswagen, BMW, Porsche, Audi,
Audi, Volvo, and Mercedes since 1981. The Zeppelin Works is a full-service repair facility providing technical expertise for any European automotive problem or maintenance. More information can be found by calling 893-0757 or at zeppelinworks.com, and by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullens has been serving the Chico community since 1918, located at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico, and can be reached by calling 342-1055. This has been It's Your Body on 90.1 KZFR Chico. We're going to go out with a song. This is You Still Believe in Me by the Beach Boys.
KZFR listeners, this is your host, DJ J. Pounds. I just want to remind you what you're getting into this weekend with the KZFR.
I know I should be. I've been very away. Every time we break up, you bring back your love to me. And
baseball bat.
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly.